Now, I know you were hearing me anyway, because I've got one of them voices. But anyway, we want to try to be the best we can be in our service to God. Would you go with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for this opportunity to come together and worship you. We know, God, that you love us and that you searched for us and you found us. And God, we praise you for the avenue that we have here today to lift up hands to you, God, and give you praise that you deserve. We thank you for Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. We pray, Father, that each and every one here this morning will be emboldened to share this truth with a lost and dying world. We ask you to be with us now. In Christ's name, amen. Where's Anthony? Come on, boy. I know, you're slow. Come on. You can do it. Right there. Go ahead. Thank you. Did I move too fast for you? Boy, look. And you're a football player. Your old uncle's going to move faster than you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He did this even though he was sorry he ever made man. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, the word says, "Man is wicked. Every thought and intention of his heart is only evil continually. However, his great love and compassion is far above what man can ever conceive of." In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 reads, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." God loves us and he is searching for us. I think that is a very profound scripture. He's searching to and fro over the earth. He's looking into the crags of Pakistan and Afghanistan, looking for those who love him. Pretty profound. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17, we read, "I love those who love me and diligently seek me." This morning I listed three things that I think the world needs to know. Now I know there's more than three things, but there's three things I'm zeroing in on this morning. And the first is that there is a God. There is only one God. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. Doesn't matter who they reach out to or if they deny God. It doesn't change that there is a God and he does exist. And he makes no apologies for this. In Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 5, he says, "I am the Lord, there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. There is no Allah. There is no Buddha. There is no Krishna or Vishnu. There is only God." The first one of the Ten Commandments goes like this: "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me." Exodus 20, verse 2 and 3. Turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. This is a New American Standard Version. We'll begin in verse 18. Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 18. "To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with him? As for the idol, a craftsman casts it, a goldsmith plates it with gold, and a silversmith fashions chains of silver. He is too impoverished for such an offering, selects a tree that does not rot. He seeks out for himself a skillful craftsman to prepare an idol that will not totter. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out like grasshoppers and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted. Scarcely have they been sown. Scarcely has the stalk taken root in the earth, but he merely blows on them and they wither, and the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number, he calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. There is an all-powerful God, and he loves us. Let's just turn over to Isaiah 45, and we're going to read 20 through 23. 45, beginning in verse 20. Gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you fugitives of the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot save. Declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Who has announced this from old? Who has long since declared it? Is it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none except me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back, that to me every knee will bow, every tongue will swear allegiance. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we read that God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, the second thing I think the world needs to know is that the Bible is the only Word of God. I know there are a lot of books out there, the Quran, the Book of Mormon, too numerous to count, but there is only one Word of God. And again, he makes no apologies for that, and he has given it to us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read that this is it, there is no other, there are just cleverly devised tales to tickle men's ears. Paraphrasing. All these other books that you read are just cleverly devised tales designed to tickle your ears. Man wrote them. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we read, very common verse we all know, all scripture is inspired by God. Inspired meaning God breathed. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. I thought this was kind of interesting. God breathed, inspired. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Then the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So it's that same kind of power when he brought man into being that he put into his word, the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21 reads like this. No prophecy is a matter of one's own interpretation. No prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. The world needs to know this. They're searching. They're going everywhere but here. Everything we need to know about God, about godliness, and how to follow him is found right here in Scripture. The third thing I believe the world needs to know is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he is the only Son of God. There is no other. Doesn't matter if the world would like to come up with other names, other types of people, Muhammad, Buddha. Doesn't matter. It will not change a thing. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read verse 8 through 14. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority, and in him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. That is an amazing scripture to me. He took it out of the way, and he nailed the debt that we owe to the cross. Now, who was nailed to the cross? Jesus. Jesus was nailed to the cross. Now, let's just move over to chapter 1, same book, reading 15 through 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on the earth or things in heaven. He is the image of God. In him all things were created. He is before all things. He is the head of the body, the church. And he has reconciled all things through the blood of the cross. His blood is cleansing power. We sing a song about that. When John the Baptist saw Jesus coming from a distance, he pointed and said, "Behold, here comes the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." In John 1, verse 29. All right, if Jesus is the Lamb of God, then what does that make us? Who are we if Jesus is the Lamb of God? Jesus, the Lamb, was taken and was slain. If you remember in Leviticus chapter 16, when they would take a lamb and slaughter him, they would also take a goat and they would release that goat into the wilderness. Let him go. And that's where we get our word scapegoat. We are scapegoats. Jesus paid the price. We get to go free. That's what God does for us. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "There is no other name given to men by which we must be saved." I know there's a lot of people who look to other names. Buddha, Krishna. They cannot save you. Jesus himself says in John 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies." That's powerful. He is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. This makes me think of the man on the cross. Jesus was crucified. There was two men, one on his right, one on his left, and the one was hurling abuses at him as if maybe they would let him down because he was getting, you know, throwing abuses at Jesus as well. A great crowd and throng out before him, screaming all vile things at him. This is the man of peace we're talking about. And it's his darkest hour, and he's hanging on the cross. And the other man looks to him and says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What a beautiful time to say something like that. Remember me. You know, he knew a little bit about Jesus. He had heard. You know, it was not something that was quiet. But why are all these people hurling abuses at him? So he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Thank you for that bright spot in this dark hour. And because of that, today you'll be in paradise. John 14 and verse 5 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. There is no other. Only he can save you. Now some might ask, what commandments is that? We know about the Ten Commandments. What commandments did Jesus give us? Well, you need to find out. This is pretty important. You need to search the Scriptures. We already decided this is the Word from God. You need to search the Scriptures and find out what you need to do to be saved. In conclusion, I just want to go over, there are three things I believe the world needs to know. One, there is a God, and there's only one God. Two, that the Bible is His Word. It's the only Word that He gave us. And three, that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Isaiah verse 6 and chapter 6 and verse 8 says, the Lord said, to whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. So if we know that the world, billions of people we're talking about, we're not talking about a smattering of a few, we're talking billions of people do not know God, that there is one God. They do not know the Bible is His only word that He has given to us. They do not know that Jesus is their Savior. And nothing's going to change that. They're walking around this earth not knowing that He's the Savior. Who are we going to send? What are you going to do about this? You know the truth. God is looking for you and I to share His truth with all those people that are lost and dying in this world. That's our job. If you're not a Christian this morning, you're here for a reason. You know that your sins separate you from God. You've heard the gospel call, and God has searched for you, and He has found you. Now you must respond. God has led you to the healing waters, but you must get in. You must be washed and cleansed of your sin. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 says, the Lord's arm is not so short that it cannot save. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He came to save you from your sin. He is the only way. I want to encourage you to be all you can be. Join the Lord's army. You will not lose the battle. When that day of judgment comes, and it's coming, you know, I see a dark cloud passing over this planet, and it doesn't look good. And I don't think I'll get any argument from anybody there. Things are getting dark. They're removing God from our country. Four people were arrested in Dearborn, Michigan for handing out Christian tracts to Muslims. It's getting dark. When that day of judgment comes, you will kneel before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you have entered those healing waters of Christian baptism, He'll say to you, join with me in paradise. If you are a Christian this morning, and you've been struggling, you've forgotten your first love, you know what to do. Won't you come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song?